Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. First, a little bit of liturgical history. The church, as we know it here in the United States, we didn't always celebrate the feast of the baptism of the Lord as a separate Sunday liturgy. The Eastern Church placed its major emphasis on the feast of the Epiphany, where it celebrated not only God's appearance to the Magi, but the Lord's baptism, and also the wedding feast at Cana, all focusing on Christ's manifestation to mankind as God, whereas the Western Church placed its primary focus on the Epiphany, mainly on the Magi. In 1955, however, Pope Pius XII established the baptism of the Lord as a separate feast following the Epiphany to be celebrated on the 13th of January. Then, as things would happen, Pope Paul VI, in response to the liturgical reforms of Vatican II, then declared that the feast of the baptism of the Lord would be celebrated on a Sunday that follows immediately the Epiphany, and thus drawing an end to the Christmas season, as next week we'll transition into ordinary time. So how often have we wondered or asked the question, perhaps, why did Jesus come to the Jordan to be baptized, since he was without sin and he was the Son of God? Well, our gospel today from Matthew and our second reading from Acts of the Apostles invite us all to take a closer look not only at the sacrament of baptism, but also the universality of this sacrament and salvation as it pertains to the universal church at large. Now, as we just heard, John didn't want to baptize Jesus. In fact, he tells Jesus, "You should be the one baptizing me." Well, this was John exhibiting his humility in response to Jesus' humility. After all, picture Jesus standing in line with all those sinners. He didn't need to be baptized. In fact, he didn't even need to become human, but he humbled himself to become one of us, even becoming a slave and a servant to all, as we see evidenced by his washing the feet of his disciples and ultimately his dying for all of us. God, the greatest of all, became the least of all, so that we, the least deserving, could become great, become divine. It was Jesus expressing his solidarity with us as sinners. So Jesus steps into the water of the Jordan, not because he needs cleansing, because I've said, you know, he doesn't. He's without sin. Rather, when Jesus steps into the waters of the Jordan, he plunges himself into our humanity in order to sanctify those waters for each and every one of us. What happened when Jesus was baptized by John is the opposite of what happens when we're baptized. When we're baptized, God uses physical water to spiritually cleanse our souls. But when Jesus was baptized by John, the water didn't change him. Rather, it was Jesus that changed the water. Jesus makes the water the instrument of salvation through the sacrament of baptism. And baptism changes our soul in two ways. It subtracts original sin, but it adds that important gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why we hear in our Gospels the contrast that John baptized with water, but Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Now, John's baptism, as we've heard, was only for the purpose of people to express the repentance for their sins. Jesus' baptism through our sacrament of baptism actually takes away sin, original sin, that sin that blocks us and blocks our entrance to heaven. That's why John didn't baptize infants. Infants are incapable of sin nor repenting, and so they really can't exercise free will, but they do have the same human nature as each and every one of us, as we're all born with original sin. So now the question becomes, for who is this beautiful sacrament intended? Back in the early church, the Jews were seen as God's chosen people. And that's why initially Jewish Christians, those who followed Christ, believed unless they adopted and followed Mosaic law, which meant being circumcised, following the dietary restrictions, among other things, they couldn't be saved. Even some of the early apostles believed that as well. Well, in today's second reading from Acts, Peter upsets the apple cart, so to speak, even if he really initially hadn't intended to do so. What does he do? He goes to the house of Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, a Gentile, who wanted to know about Jesus. Now remember, Jews were prohibited from entering the house of a pagan as they were deemed to be unclean, and certainly this was the case of a Roman centurion. In the passage from Acts of the Apostles that immediately precedes our second reading today, God sends Peter a message in a dream informing him that the gospel is intended for all peoples, not just the Jews. As Peter then preaches to Cornelius in our reading today from Acts, when we heard Peter say, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." So how does this apply to each of us today? Pope Francis, back in 2019, in one of his general audiences, called God's challenge to Peter in today's second reading an example of God's supreme creativity, one that pushes Peter to overcome particularism in favor of salvation's universality. For us, that means taking a look at ourselves and asking, who have we been excluding from our lives? Or possibly welcoming back someone who's been lacking in faith for many years, or who's eyeing that door to the church but's just afraid to enter. Or perhaps it's someone making someone from another faith feel welcome if we ever see them slip in and attend Mass. Folks, like it or not, our world today screams of tribalism, an us versus them mentality. Well, Jesus' baptism calls for us to take our baptism and to dive into unity's waters. That's what synodality is all about. Everyone walking together as the body of Christ. Last week, we celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany, where Jesus was revealed to the Magi. Well, today, with our celebration of the baptism of the Lord, we also celebrate an epiphany where Jesus' identity is declared to the church, as we hear in our gospel today, the voice from heaven declaring, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." By virtue of our baptism, it's not only our responsibility to care for our brothers and sisters, who include the world's poor, oppressed, and marginalized, but it's our duty and our divine calling. Just as Jesus entered the waters of Jordan in solidarity with all those whom he would save, so we too are called to jump into those same waters. In fact, we've already done so in our baptism. Our celebration of the Lord's baptism today calls on each one of us to continually renew our baptismal commitment as we are being baptized priest, prophet, and king, and as such, commissioned others to lead others to Christ by offering the gift of our lives in selfless service for others. Let us strive to live this baptismal commitment daily in each of our lives as we follow in the footsteps of Christ.